Chapter 10. Supply for our drinking, and therefore upon every hill that we came near we clambered up to the highest part, to see the country before us, and to make the best judgment we could which way to go to keep the lowest grounds, and as near some stream of water as we could. The country held verdant, well grown with trees, and spread with rivers and brooks, and tolerably well with inhabitants. For about 30 days' march after our leaving the canoes, during which time things went pretty well with us, we did not tie ourselves down when to march, and when to halt, but ordered those things as our convenience, and the health and ease of our people, as well our servants as ourselves, required. About the middle of this march we came into a low and plain country, in which we perceived a greater number of inhabitants than in any other country we had gone through, but that which was worse for us, we found them a fierce, barbarous, treacherous people, and who at first looked upon us as robbers, and gathered themselves in numbers to attack us. Our men were terrified at them at first, and began to discover an unusual fear, and even our black prince seemed in a great deal of confusion. But I smiled at him, and showing him some of our guns, I asked him if he thought that which killed the spotted cat, for so they called the leopard in their language, could not make a thousand of those naked creatures die at one blow? Then he laughed, and said, yes, he believed it would. Well then, said I, tell your men not to be afraid of these people, for we shall soon give them a taste of what we can do, if they pretend to meddle with us. However, we considered we were in the middle of a vast country, and we knew not what numbers of people and nations we might be surrounded with, and, above all, we knew not how much we might stand in need of the friendship of these that we were now among, so that we ordered the negroes to try all the methods they could to make them friends. Accordingly the two men who had gotten bows and arrows, and two more to whom we gave the prince's two fine lances, went foremost, with five more, having long poles in their hands, and after them 10 of our men advanced toward the negro town that was next to us, and we all stood ready to succor them, if there should be occasion. When they came pretty near their houses our negroes hallooed in their screaming way, and called to them as loud as they could. Upon their calling, some of the men came out and answered, and immediately after the whole town, men, women, and children, appeared. Our negroes, with their long poles, went forward a little, and stuck them all in the ground, and left them, which in their country was a signal of peace, but the other did not understand the meaning of that. Then the two men with bows laid down their bows and arrows, went forward unarmed, and made signs of peace to them, which at last the other began to understand. So two of their men laid down their bows and arrows, and came towards them. Our men made all the signs of friendship to them that they could think of, putting their hands up to their mouths as a sign that they wanted provisions to eat, and the other pretended to be pleased and friendly, and went back to their fellows, and talked with them a while, and they came forward again, and made signs that they would bring some provisions to them before the sunset, and so our men came back again very well satisfied for that time. But an hour before sunset our men went to them again, just in the same posture as before, and they came according to their appointment, and brought deer's flesh, roots, and the same kind of corn, like rice, which I mentioned above, and our negroes, being furnished with such toys as our cutler had contrived, gave them some of them, which they seemed infinitely pleased with, and promised to bring more provisions the next day. Accordingly the next day they came again, but our men perceived they were more in number by a great many than before. However, having sent out 10 men with firearms to stand ready, and our whole army being in view also, we were not much surprised, nor was the treachery of the enemy so cunningly ordered as in other cases, for they might have surrounded our negroes, which were but 9, under a show of peace, But when they saw our men advance almost as far as the place where they were the day before, the rogues snatched up their bows and arrows, and came running upon our men like so many furies, at which our 10 men called to the negroes to come back to them, which they did with speed enough at the first word, and stood all behind our men. As they fled, the other advanced, and let fly near 100 of their arrows at them, by which 2 of our negroes were wounded, and 1 we thought had been killed. When they came to the 5 poles that our men had stuck in the ground, they stood still a while, and gathering about the poles, looked at them, and handled them, as wondering what they meant. We then, who were drawn up behind all, sent 1 of our number to our 10 men, to bid them fire among them, while they stood so thick, and to put some small shot into their guns besides the ordinary charge, and to tell them that we would be up with them immediately. Accordingly they made ready, but by the time they were ready to fire, the black army had left their wandering about the poles, and began to stir, as if they would come on, though seeing more men stand at some distance behind our negroes, they could not tell what to make of us. But if they did not understand us before, they understood us less afterwards, for as soon as ever our men found them to begin to move forward they fired among the thickest of them, being about the distance of 120 yards, as near as we could guess. It is impossible to express the fright, the screaming and yelling of those wretches upon this first volley. We killed 6 of them, and wounded 11 or 12, I mean as we knew of. For, as they stood thick, and the small shot, as we called it, scattered among them, we had reason to believe we wounded more that stood farther off, for our small shot was made of bits of lead and bits of iron, heads of nails, and such things as our diligent artificer, the cutler, helped us to. As to those that were killed and wounded, the other frighted creatures were under the greatest amazement in the world, to think what should hurt them, for they could see nothing but holes made in their bodies they knew not how. Then the fire and noise amazed all their women and children, and frighted them out of their wits, so that they ran staring and howling about like mad creatures. However, all this did not make them fly, which was what we wanted, nor did we find any of them die as it were with fear, as at first. So we resolved upon a second volley, and then to advance as we did before. Whereupon our reserved men advancing, we resolved to fire only 3 men at a time, and move forward like an army firing in platoon. So, being all in a line, we fired, first 3 on the right, then 3 on the left, and so on. And every time we killed or wounded some of them, but still they did not fly, and yet they were so frighted, that they used none of their bows and arrows, or of their lances, and we thought their numbers increased upon our hands, particularly we thought so by the noise. So I called to our men to halt, and bid them pour in 1 whole volley and then shout, as we did in our first fight, and so run in upon them, and knock them down with our muskets. But they were too wise for that too, for as soon as we had fired a whole volley and shouted, they all ran away, men, women, and children, so fast that in a few moments we could not see 1 creature of them except some that were wounded and lame, who lay wallowing and screaming here and there upon the ground as they happened to fall. Upon this we came up to the field of battle, where we found we had killed 37 of them, among which were 3 women, and had wounded about 64, among which were 2 women. By wounded I mean such as were so maimed as not to be able to go away, and those our negroes killed afterwards in a cowardly manner in cold blood, for which we were very angry, and threatened to make them go to them, if they did so again. There was no great spoil to be got, for they were all stark naked as they came into the world, men, and women together, some of them having feathers stuck in their hair, and others a kind of bracelet about their necks, but nothing else. But our negroes got a booty here, which we were very glad of, and this was the bows and arrows of the vanquished, of which they found more than they knew what to do with, belonging to the killed and wounded men. These we ordered them to pick up, and they were very useful to us afterwards. After the fight, and our Negroes had gotten bows and arrows, we sent them out in parties to see what they could get, and they got some provisions. But, which was better than all the rest, they brought us 4 more young bulls, or buffaloes, that had been brought up to labor, and to carry burthens. They knew them, it seems, by the burthens they had carried having galled their backs, for they have no saddles to cover them within that country. Those creatures not only eased our Negroes, but gave us an opportunity to carry more provisions. And our Negroes loaded them very hard at this place with flesh and roots, such as we wanted very much afterwards. In this town we found a very little young leopard, about 2 spans high. It was exceeding tame, and purred like a cat, when we stroked it with our hands, being, as I suppose, bred up among the Negroes like a house dog. It was our Black Prince, it seems, who, making his tour among the abandoned houses or huts, found this creature there, and making much of him, and giving a bit or two of flesh to him, the creature followed him like a dog, of which more hereafter. Among the Negroes that were killed in this battle there was one who had a little thin bitter plate of gold, about as big as a sixpence, which hung by a little bit of a twisted gut upon his forehead, by which we supposed he was a man of some eminence among them. But that was not all, for this bit of gold put us upon searching very narrowly, if there was not more of it to be at thereabouts, but we found none at all. From this part of the country we went on for about 15 days, and then found ourselves obliged to march up a high ridge of mountains, frightful to behold, and the first of the kind that we met with, and having no guide, but our little pocket compass, we had no advantage of information, as to which was the best, or the worst way, but was obliged to choose by what we saw, and shift as well as we could. We met with several nations of wild and naked people in the plain country, before we came to those hills, and we found them much more tractable and friendly than those devils we had been forced to fight with. And though we could learn little from these people, yet we understood by the signs they made, that there was a vast desert beyond these hills, and, as our Negroes called them, much lion, much spotted cat, so they called the leopard, and they signed to us also, that we must carry water with us. At the last of these nations we furnished ourselves with as much provisions as we could possibly carry, not knowing what we had to suffer, or what length we had to go. And, to make our way as familiar to us as possible, I proposed that of the last inhabitants we could find we should make some prisoners, and carry them with us for guides over the desert, and to assist us in carrying provision, and, perhaps, in getting it too. The advice was too necessary to be slighted. So finding, by our dumb signs to the inhabitants, that there were some people that dwelt at the foot of the mountains on the other side, before we came to the desert itself, we resolved to furnish ourselves with guides by fair means or foul. Here, by a moderate computation, we concluded ourselves 700 miles from the sea coast where we began. Our Black Prince was this day set free from the sling his arm hung in, our surgeon having perfectly restored it, and he showed it to his own countrymen quite well, which made them greatly wonder. Also our 2 Negroes began to recover, and their wounds to heal apace, for our surgeon was very skillful in managing their cure. Having with infinite labor mounted these hills, and coming to a view of the country beyond them, it was indeed enough to astonish as stout a heart as ever was created. It was a vast howling wilderness, not a tree, a river, or a green thing to be seen. For, as far as the eye could look, nothing but a scalding sand, which, as the wind blew, drove about in clouds enough to overwhelm man and beast. Nor could we see any end of it either before us, which was our way, or to the right hand or left. So that truly our men began to be discouraged, and talk of going back again. Nor could we indeed think of venturing over such a horrid place as that before us, in which we saw nothing but present death. I was as much affected at the sight as any of them, but, for all that, I could not bear the thoughts of going back again. I told them we had marched 700 miles of our way, and it would be worse than death who think of going back again. And that, if they thought the desert was not passable, I thought we should rather change our course, and travel south till we came to the Cape of Good Hope, or north to the country that lay along the Nile, where, perhaps, we might find some way or other over to the West Sea. For sure all Africa was not a desert. Our gunner, who, as I said before, was our guide, as to the situation of places, told us that he could not tell what to say to going for the Cape, for it was a monstrous length, being from the place where we now were not less than 1,500 miles, and, by his account, we were now come a third part of the way to the coast of Angola, where we should meet the Western Ocean, and find ways enough for our escape home. On the other hand, he assured us, and showed us a map of it, that, if we went northward, the western shore of Africa went out into the sea above 1,000 miles west, so that we should have so much and more land to travel afterwards, which land might, for aught we knew, be as wild, barren, and desert as this. And therefore, upon the whole, he proposed that we should attempt this desert, and perhaps we should not find it so long as we feared. And however, he proposed that we should see how far our provisions would carry us, and, in particular, our water, and we should venture no further than half so far as our water would last, and if we found no end of the desert, we might come safely back again. This advice was so reasonable that we all approved of it, and accordingly we calculated that we were able to carry provisions for 42 days, but that we could not carry water for above 20 days, though we were to suppose it to stink to before that time expired. So that we concluded that, if we did not come at some water in 10 days' time, we would return, but if we found a supply of water, we could then travel 21 days. And, if we saw no end of the wilderness in that time, we would return also. With this regulation of our measures, we descended the mountains, and it was the second day before we quite reached the plain, where, however, to make us amends, we found a fine little rivulet of very good water, abundance of deer, a sort of creature like a hare, but not so nimble, but whose flesh we found very agreeable. But we were deceived in our intelligence, for we found no people, so we got no more prisoners to assist us in carrying our baggage. The infinite number of deer and other creatures which we saw here, we found was occasioned by the neighborhood of the waste desert, from whence they retired hither for food and refreshment. We stored ourselves here with flesh and roots of divers kinds, which our negroes understood better than we, and which served us for bread. And with as much water, as, by the allowance of a quart a day to a man for our negroes, and 3 pints a day a man for ourselves, and 3 quarts a day each for our buffaloes, would serve us 20 days, and thus loaded for a long miserable march, we set forwards, being all sound in health and very cheerful, but not alike strong for so great a fatigue, and, which was our grievance, were without a guide. In the very first entrance of the waste we were exceedingly discouraged, for we found the sand so deep, and it scalded our feet, so much with the heat, that after we had, as I may call it, waded rather than walked through it about 7 or 8 miles, we were all heartily tired and faint. Even the very negroes laid down and panted like creatures that had been pushed beyond their strength. Here we found the difference of lodging greatly injurious to us. For, as before, we always made us huts to sleep under, which covered us from the night air, which is particularly unwholesome in those hot countries. But we had here no shelter, no lodging, after so hard a march, for here were no trees, no, not a shrub near us, and, which was still more frightful, towards night we began to hear the wolves howl, the lions bellow, and a great many wild asses braying, and other ugly noises which we did not understand. Upon this we reflected upon our indiscretion, that we had not, at least, brought poles or stakes in our hands, with which we might have, as it were, palisadoed ourselves in for the night, and so we might have slept secure, whatever other inconveniences we suffered. However, we found a way at last to relieve ourselves a little, Therefore first we set up the lances and bows we had, and endeavored to bring the tops of them as near to one another as we could, and so hung our coats on the top of them, which made us a kind of sorry tent. The leopard skin, and a few other skins we had put together, made us a tolerable covering, and thus we laid down to sleep, and slept very heartily too, for the first night, setting, however, a good watch, being two of our own men with their fuses, whom we relieved in an hour at first, and 2 hours afterwards. And it was very well we did this, for they found the wilderness swarmed with raging creatures of all kinds, some of which came directly up to the very enclosure of our tent. But our sentinels were ordered, not to alarm us with firing in the night, but to flash in the pan at them, which they did, and found it effectual, for the creatures went off always, as soon as they saw it, perhaps with some noise or howling, and pursued such other game as they were upon. If we were tired with the day's travel, we were all as much tired with the night's lodging. But our Black Prince told us in the morning he would give us some counsel, and indeed it was very good counsel. He told us we should be all killed, if we went on this journey, and through this desert, without some covering for us at night. So he advised us to march back again to a little riverside, where we lay the night before, and stay there till we... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.